We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The sound of the final buzzer means it's hangover time. So grab a drink and join your host, Alphonse Sidney, for a Miami Heat Beat post-game show.
They never change the graphic. Listen, I'm Brassen here today. I didn't know that Brassen switched the asset to the countdown. I did not realize. And now I realize it says Hangover Time Rohan intro. Well, I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas. Heat lose. We have a lot to get into. I think that was one of the most interesting games of the season from a coaching standpoint and kind of what we saw in the Heat. So I'm going to bring myself out and introduce our cast of people. What is up, everybody?
What's up, G?
How are we feeling? I know it's a loss, but it's Saturday, and it was a fun game, and you know, that's a good team. You know, it shouldn't be that bad, right?
I didn't get the memo that you were hosting, so
I know. Listen, it kind of, you know, Brass.
We're all losers tonight, I guess.
Brass deserves to have a life, right? And so does Alf. So, you know, in a busy week, I'm here to kind of relieve everybody. So, you know, it's Saturday. You know, we had a little bit of a rough night, I guess. And you know, let's find out what everyone's drinking tonight. So, chat, by the way, let me know if my audio is okay. I know that I think I sound a little echoey. I'm not really sure what's going on, but let me know if I sound okay. Moose, what do we have tonight?
So today has been a rainy, ugly South Florida day. So I didn't leave the house at all for shit. I was going to get some. Oh, good. We lost them. Hey, the show got so much better already. Okay. So I was going to get some monkey shoulder. Couldn't get out there. So I'm drinking the Casamigos on the rocks. Oh, shit, he's back.
I said put yourself in the middle.
It sucks. It sucks to suck. Siobhan, what we got tonight?
An apothic blended red. Yes, Frankie.
Yes.
All right, Frankie, spoiler alert, what are you having? What are we sipping on?
Apothic red. It's a great wine and great for your wallet too.
Do you need us to get you wine glasses? Is that something that
I didn't want to say it?
Listen, I am at my girlfriend's house. Stop making.
Does she want wine glasses?
Does she want wine glasses? Then
I'll send some.
Yeah.
All right. Send it.
Okay, I will for you. All right, Kenny, what you got for us tonight?
I got my usual right now. I got the Tito's with Sprite. When I was setting up, I missed them blowing the lead. It would have been Tito's straight if I saw that bullshit. But it's Tito's and Sprite tonight.
Yo, shout out to Unexpected Teacher. Subscribe to Tier 1 for 10 months. That's almost the entirety of the time that we've done Hangover Time. So thank you for that continued support. We love you guys. We love our subs, our patrons, everybody.
Unexpected Teacher. Thank you.
You
want to
hit him one time, Moose?
I got to hit him one time with a drip drop.
Yes, Knuckles.
And I'm having a Grand Marnier margarita. Trying a little fancy today. I was actually making it while they were blowing the lead. So
You didn't stop?
Yeah, no, I did stop, Jesus actually. Christ. No, I did stop. And I went back to my seat. I went back. I stopped what I was doing. I put everything away. I went back to my seat. I actually thought of tossing the drink, but it's expensive liquor. So I felt bad about that. And, I, you know, my mother didn't raise a wasteful person, but I considered throwing it out.
You should have. You should have just thrown it out. You cost us this. You almost put it in my face, Kyle Lowry. Well,
it's absolutely
his boyfriend
my fault.
Definitely cost us the game.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know what he would have done.
We can get into some of that right now. So Moose, okay, let's. Do you guys want to start with the good or the bad? Let's start with the bad. Let's move our way back to the good. So that game ended in disaster, and there's a couple reasons. You know, the offense really bogged down, and I think that, you know, Siobhan, when teams switch against Miami, they don't have much of an answer. They don't have a go-to. I mean, I think Jimmy in the post is their real best measure against that. Bam has not been a good post-up player this year. I checked the stats. He's like 0.85 points per possession as a post-up player, and that's typically on advantages because, like, Bam's not posting up Jokic or Embiid, right? It's usually smaller guys. And, you know, Jimmy in the post has been really, really good for them. So, Bon, what are you seeing on that end? Because I feel like their offense just gets mucked up when teams switch, and they just have no real answers outside of Jimmy do something.
Yeah, they really don't have any vertical rim pressure. It's been the same. A lot of Bam's I think Bam would help them more with switching defenses if he would, like, I don't care that he, what you say, like 0.85.
Yeah.
But he has to press the issue. I tweeted one time, and you know, we don't have clips, but I tweeted one time that just because, you know, team switch or that we force switch doesn't always mean that the advantage is going to come from the guard's perspective. Bam had a switch and had a small on him. And like you said, he's not posting up, you know, Jokic and Bean and, you know, Gobert and those guys. But, like, when you have a little guy on you, Junkin's defense was missed after he went down. No, it wasn't. He was being hunted the whole first quarter. I wish I had clips. I would have had a montage of him just hunting Duncan the entire first quarter. But, no, Bam has to push the onus. And, like, you get the switch, don't pick up your dribble. You have a small on you, press the issue. But outside of that, yeah, they don't have, you know, the dynamicism to attack vertically, switching defenses. And until they do, it's going to be an issue for them.
Yeah, the other thing that, Frankie, that I thought was super interesting about this game was it was really, I think, the first time this season we've seen, like, a really, really intense coaching battle kind of back and forth early on. You know, the Wizards downsized, the Heat then went back, that kind of went to posting up Bam on Kuzma. That didn't really work. Wizards were switching everything super small. Then Miami said, fuck it, we're going small too. Bam picked up that fourth foul, you know, or third foul. PJ comes in at five. You know, they bring in Strus and Caleb, and they go a lot of quick guards. They kind of try to get a little downhill action with Jimmy. You know, I thought that was the best their offense looked outside of that third quarter when they hit threes. You know, what'd you kind of think of that little stretch in the second quarter? I thought that was some of the most fun stuff in the game.
Yeah, it shows the versatility. We talked about PJ as a roller a lot. He's been attacking that short roll very well, and he got to do it in bunches tonight. 14 points, 5 of 6 from the field. He continues his high efficiency streak this last, like, 5 games or so. We see Caleb cutting and slashing, and I've enjoyed that. And Jimmy being forced to be aggressive and attack those mismatches is one of our better offenses because he knows where the help is coming from. He's a good passer from the post. And it's been on nights where Bam's in foul trouble, Duncan's in foul trouble, Kyle's in foul trouble. You need the offense to come from somewhere. And Caleb helped a little bit. PJ picked up the slack. Tyler had a good game. Jimmy had a great game. One possession away, unfortunately.
That foul at the end of the third, I think it was Max. Who was it? Max or Caleb?
I'm pretty sure it was Strus.
Yeah, it was something. One of our wings fouled Beal. And it's like, man, sometimes games just come down to shit like that. You know, let's talk about what went right a little bit. Moose, your boy, was that man in the fourth quarter, especially. I mean, the dude
has
hitting
been all year. Thank you. Hit him one time.
Hit him one time.
one time.
Show the shirt, Siobhan. Show the shirt. Look at that. Get that at our merch store.
Beautiful graphics by Siobhan herself.
Yeah, the designer right there. So I'll throw the link to our merch store in chat if you guys want a piece of some of what we have and some of the new stuff, by the way. That, you know, I think Kenny, you saw real quick the design that Brian Goins showed you that we got. I think y'all are gonna like what I think's coming for you next week. So be on the lookout at our store and a couple other things. So Moose, get into what your boy did.
Listen, he came to play tonight. Now, I will give credit to I want to give some credit to the Wizards because they actually played much better defense tonight than what I saw in the last game. I'm a little bit more of a believer of the Wizards after tonight just because of, you know, some of the things that they were able to accomplish in the second half and definitely stealing the game. But my guy Tyler in the fourth quarter making some clutch, timely shots. I already know where G's going to go in terms of, you know, the deficiencies and the mismatch that he created. But listen, what he was on the court to do to make the shots, yeah, drip drop, they fell. And on the defensive end, he was holding his own, all right? He earned those minutes in the fourth quarter. So give him some credit. Tyler has been balling all year. And nothing more but up, you know, drip drop.
Moose, did you hear the Bally Sports broadcast when Eric Reed said, down to the last drip?
No, he didn't. Really?
He did. It wasn't about Tyler. It was more about the game. But, man, I cannot disassociate drip and drop with you, just either one.
Yeah. Why did you sound just like him?
I have a low-key good limited fake.
It wasn't bad,
Eric,
yeah.
Reed. No, I have a lot of years on my limited fake, Eric. Yeah. Yeah. We'll talk about my boy in a second. While we're on Tyler,
we have to.
No, it's a conversation. Listen, I'm not gonna hide. It's a conversation that we have to have. Kenny, when it comes to, I know that you're a big Tyler guy too. When it comes to Tyler, I think, you know, what he gives you on offense is absolutely invaluable, and I don't think that he shouldn't have played. He absolutely has to be out there. He is, you know, arguably at times our best half court player. You know, I think that he gets to his spot super easy. I think he's become a much smarter player. He's just a good basketball player. Problem is on defense, you know, he gets hunted, and that's going to happen. I mean, Miami plays a switch scheme, and that's what's going to happen. And when Tyler's man goes to screen for a guy like Beal, that's not even a play with Bam that you can drop a big, right? I mean, it's either hero and drop or whatever. So kind of the result was PJ at the top of the key kind of having to come over to help. And Beal, being a smart player that he is, it's kind of swing, then that's to Dinwiddie. And then if the rotation comes, swing to where the help comes. And it's an open three. And that's kind of where the game got away from them, I think, especially when it was really close and they were managed to score. So, like, what do you see on defense from him? Because I don't really know, you know, they hit tough shots, you know what I mean? But, you know, it certainly was glaring.
This is probably an oversimplification, but at the end of the day, everybody on the team was in foul trouble, and Tyler's not here to defend. We know he can't defend. So, no, I mean,
well,
I know he should, but that's not what we expect him to be able to at this point. Everybody else was in foul trouble. So, I mean, they've been fine with Tyler being a horrible defender all season.
For sure.
Horrible strong.
It's different.
I don't know if it's that strong.
Bring it back to me. It's a little strong. His defense on Beal tonight was not the problem, okay? Yes, he's not our best defender. But I'll tell you what, he's playing better defense than Duncan was.
Duncan, I don't know what his issue is.
I'm going to pull up a play.
Go to Duncan, right? Get good defensively. Tyler.
Beal was going at that man relentlessly. They got the switch, and they were trying to give it to Gafford because he had Duncan on him. Duncan did a decent job of, like, trying to fight to stay in front. Ran the screen right back through him. Got Duncan on Beal, and it was just downhill. But, like, the first – like 6 to 8 possessions, they wouldn't go at anybody else but Duncan. And the issue is that Duncan he can't make up for that on the offensive end when his shot's not hitting because he can't get his own shot.
I like this play that Chef Trilly was kind of talking about. It says Duncan looks like a lost puppy here. So you see kind of, you know, Duncan does just, I don't know what the fuck he's doing there. Yeah,
Duncan mentally has taken himself completely out of the game. both on offense and defense.
And that's the difference between he and Tyler. You can get away with Tyler's bad defensive minutes because he's going to give you something on the other end. Duncan cannot when it's not being given to him.
And even without lapses like that play right there, Duncan just has this annoying tendency he can't get rid of where he'll play perfect defense and then he'll panic and foul.
He's a reacher. And he's a reacher. Yeah,
Defensive feet.
he uses his hands too much when he panics, and then he pushes and reaches and smacks and hand checks, and that's when they call that. But
I have a theory for that. Frankie, can I run this theory by you?
Go ahead.
So Andre, you say like you don't want to hear it. Never mind.
No, what's the theory?
I'll take myself.
Go ahead.
Gee, what's the theory?
I was saying that the Heat defense really doesn't help them out. When you have two guys who are going to get hunted, why are you switching so much?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
It makes it so easy for them to get the matchup they want. If I know that they're going to switch everything, all I got to do is whoever Tyler's guarding, bring them up, set a screen, and I'm going to get the matchup I want. That's not helping Tyler.
Well, I mean, like, if you guard screen anyway, then you get Tyler in a drop, right? If a guard screens, I mean, and that's not really the look they want either because you're still going to be in rotation.
But even in the drop, he has a better chance at, like, contesting with that space there than having Tyler, like, on someone's hip, like, defensively. Yeah.
And what is it?
Especially you got, like, Bradley Beal.
Switch.
Yeah.
They send the help. They rotate, over-rotate anyways, and they're getting whatever they want.
Yeah, it should stop.
Yeah, so I think we all agree that, like, Tyler's awesome and not the problem. So you guys can shut the fuck up now.
Yeah, no.
It's certainly – and I think Tyler is, you know – I think he's a good guy in rotation. I think Duncan is too. I think they're both. I think they make the correct rotations. Duncan, obviously that clip was not indicative of that, but I think for the most part, their strongest suit is, you know, making the correct rotation. They know where to be on the floor, I guess is what I'm saying. I know maybe you don't agree, Siobhan.
No, I feel like Duncan was better at it last season as he was coming along. Like this season, it feels like he's been rotating late a lot. And I don't know if that's like just him still trying to like stay with his defender. But when he's rotating over to that role, man, and like Brady tweeted something about it like a week or so ago about how he's limiting the role guy to whatever the number is, but it doesn't feel that way. And again, like them switching doesn't do Duncan any help with his foul situations because all of that switching is going to put him somewhere down low. He's going to be either super handsy on a guard or small against a big and handsy and pushy. So none of it bodes well for his defensive game. And then his offensive game isn't there. So that's why you see, you know, him looking sad all the time.
Yeah. I just saw that in the chat. I was like, my man looks sad. I will say that he doesn't ever stop moving on offense. And I think that the stuff on defense is fair. Like I'm not here to defend him unfairly, but like, I do think that on offense, he's always moving. There was a play where Jimmy got the steal and Duncan was the only guy that ran the floor with him, you know, and Jimmy finished the play. Right. So there wasn't any need, but like, I think that like guys that run the floor, even if they're not playing well, that, you know, he had a couple nice cuts today. So, you know, I and also like they're staple to him in the corners. Like they're not helping off of him. Again, he has to make his open shots and like he's in his head. Right. Yeah. And I think that they've schemed around him. Like he's really the focus on a lot of defenses. And it's just been that way. You know, defenses aren't really scared of anybody on the Heat. And they're like, okay, Tyler, you beat us. Jimmy, you beat us. Like, we're not going to get killed with your movement stuff. What you got, Moose?
We'll go to Frankie next, but I just wanted to say I used whatever injury he had tonight. I use it to give him the next like game or two off completely. Well,
I think he wants to keep a streak. I mean, he has a streak of like
fuck
an
that
iron.
Streak.
He's like
he
that
streak.
Yeah,
he
but that matters to dudes. That matters to dudes. That matters to people. I think that matters.
Yeah, that's a consecutive like in game streak. That's not gonna fail.
If he right. If he doesn't play the game, it's not gonna count.
I mean, the playing streak. Like he needs. Oh. Like if he gets 10 more games, he's like.
Who gives a shit? He already got his money. All right. I think he needs a night off. Maybe two. Just disconnect mentally. Just sit there and watch.
All right,
the game.
Chat's screaming about me. Let's talk about Kyle Lowry a little bit because everybody's
one
really.
One last thing on Duncan.
Let's go ahead.
I was paying attention to him tonight, man, and like he's really, like, really, really overthinking the game now. Like, Shawan was talking about how he's late on rotations and stuff like that. And then on that clip, you could see he's overthinking. He's not just playing. He's not playing loose. The second half of last season, well, we saw his shot fall at a higher rate. His defense was coming along well. That was arguably the best Duncan we've ever seen. And that's just a large part of his rhythm, his comfort. Yeah. And how many times – look, Duncan shot two two-pointers tonight. When he's at his best, he's cutting, he's getting the ball to the rim, and he's finishing at the rim, taking those shots. We're not seeing that kind of Duncan. And, you know, I'm sure we'll get that in stretches at some point in the season, we hope. But I think that's the biggest thing. We're not like that possession where you were talking about where Jimmy could have fed him in transition. They got to do some things to get him some easy looks as well. But he also has to cut hard and look for that finish as well.
And then right after he got that second cut, that second layup, he got his second foul.
Yes.
Checked out.
I think that's a great point.
I got to agree with Frankie 100%. Because his shot not falling, he just obviously looks not confident and just out of it.
I thought so, too. I wasn't going to say
anything. Post up 75.
Frankie back on the big screen.
No, he did. I was going to put it in the private chat.
Oh yeah, he did.
What's going on there? We got a
wet the bed situation. Oh, is she shitting right now?
He's sitting on the carpet.
You need a second?
Is that okay? Do you want to go deal with that?
No, that's okay.
You shouldn't let that seep in.
Hard 30. Let's go.
Listen, that dog.
Well, listen,
that guy didn't want the bed as much as Kyle.
That wedding the bed situation is a perfect segue to
We had the same idea.
Let's talk
a little bit about Kyle. I think that people are kind of...
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think other than the silly foul at the end of the game was probably like the most egregious thing he did. And the shooting has just not really been there for him this season, shooting 32% from three, just straight up not good enough. Shooting really well at the rim, and he's shooting well from mid-range. But it's really the three-point shooting that – and he takes a lot of shots, and I think that you want him to keep taking shots. I think the turnovers have kind of corrected themselves a little bit. It's not as bad as it was early in the season, and I think a part of that is a product of him playing with new guys. He had three today, but I think in general, and he had been taking care of the ball a lot better lately. But I mean, listen, he has to hit threes.
I wasn't paying attention to that rant. Did you agree that the shot wasn't that he sucks right now?
Not that he sucks.
That's all the chat wants to hear.
He's not shooting the ball well. You know what I mean? Like, I think on defense, he's like providing what he always provides. And I think that the Washington did an exceptionally good job today of kind of putting some size on him. I think that he's not turning the corner on pick and roll as well as, yes. as he has he's not getting by guys unless yes. he has like a size advantage. So like in that Clipper game when they were like, okay, like where's Zubac, right? And I'm just going to like put his ass in the blender. So when teams switch a lot and when they're like downsized like Washington and when they put size on him, he's going to struggle to get to the rim. He's going to struggle to turn the corner. And if the three-point shot's not there, like you're like that night in Dallas, obviously like that didn't matter because Dallas also switches a lot.
Most of the games this season.
And Dallas also has a lot of length. But I think in general, like when you're 16 games into an NBA season, I think that you just wait. You got to trust that dudes that are good players and good shooters are going to figure it out. Like, if he shoots 32% from three this year, it'd be the lowest mark of his career. Like, do you think that he's going to be the worst shooter he's ever been? Like, if you think that, that's fine. Like,
I just think it's nice that for Kyle Lowry, we're giving him 16 games to find his rhythm, but for everybody else, we're quick.
Wait, I don't know how I feel about that. I'm defending Duncan all the time. I'm like, well, we got to wait. Like,
that's fair. He has. It's been pissing me off too. I'll give him.
But like, I think with shooters. But like with the skill, like I think the downhill stuff is like gone. Like he's just not gonna beat dudes off the dribble anymore. Like that's just not a thing. And he's never been that player. But it's like he's the idea that like he and he's a good pick and roll player with Bam. But the idea that he's just gonna ISO or get by a guy or like if there's a really good on ball defender, he's just not gonna beat those guys anymore. Like that's just not who he is. He may have it some nights, but that's just not like we gotta concede that, right? But it's like. When you look at a skill like shooting, right? Like sometimes guys have bad seasons, but that stuff tends to level out, I guess is what I'm saying with the shooting. So it's like, I don't want to. And by the way, last season when Tyler wasn't shooting the ball well, I never really panicked. It just turned out that last season he never really got it going. But I'm like, he's a good shooter. Like he's going to figure it out.
He wasn't shooting well. He wasn't handling well. He wasn't making good decisions. Tyler,
I can neither confirm nor deny, but I will say I was the only one at Heat Beat that did not trade him. So I don't
know. Yeah, I wasn't here yet.
Alf and I traded him.
Same.
I think we all did.
So y'all.
Yeah, we were wrong.
No, that's fine. So Tyler is young enough to where he still has that first step burst. Tyler is dynamic yes. enough to where, yeah, he's not shooting well, but yeah. he can put pressure at the rim. And I appreciate Kyle's game. I like Kyle's game. But for me personally, it is one of the reasons why I really wanted Lonzo, right? I really wanted someone a bit younger, in my opinion, much more dynamic and much more able to kind of turn corners, a quicker first step, someone to get more vertical pressure at the rim because as presently constructed right now, the rest of the team is already easy enough to defend as they are. And so when they're not on, then you kind of want like that out of Kyle to like, you know, generate something that he is or isn't able to generate, you know, matchup depending. And they're all super like interdependent on one another to like get their shit going when one of them doesn't have it. And so I don't know, like just needing and wanting a like a definitive head to the rim type of guy was where I personally wanted to go. But I do appreciate Kyle's game. I like his game. It's going to be difficult. Until they get a vertical rim pressure putterer, it's gonna be hard.
So quick thing before we hit to Kenny, Lonzo is shooting 51% at the rim this season, which would make it one of the worst marks of the league. So
I don't care. He's getting to the rim and he's collapsing defenses.
Kyle is shooting 78% at the rim and he's a good finisher.
Can't get there.
What's
Lonzo shooting from three? Do you have
40?
I think 44.
Yeah, 44.
That's not bad.
26% from mid range. Kyle's 43 from mid. So
get to where you can be efficient at and do those things.
Yeah, I don't understand why he doesn't take mid range shots really.
He does. I mean, I think
not enough.
Not enough.
He'd take a little more. Yeah, Miami's a good mid-range shooting team in general. Like Jimmy's been killing it.
That's Jimmy, right?
What you got, Ken?
What?
What were you saying?
Yeah.
Huh?
No. No, like, I pretty much said the same thing. What I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay. So like, and chat like really like wants me to be hard on Kyle. Like, and, like I think he's. I mean, he's been really good, right? Like this season, he's been amazing for them, and I think the best skill that he gives them is he gets them into offense they like, Frankie. His pace pushing gets them looks that they like. It takes them out of the half court where they're not good. He's a part of why they're not good, but they're all a reason why they're not good. Because last year when he wasn't here, they fucking sucked in the half court. So, you know, he helps guys. And, like, I think Washington did an amazing job of controlling the pace of the game, which is going to be what playoff basketball is like, you know, especially with switchy defenses. And I think that, you know, this is – I think it's good for them to go through this. And I don't think Kyle's going to shoot 1-for-7, you know, for the rest of the season, right? I think he's going to get up to 35%, which is kind of what I expected this season to be. So, you know, like, there's good and there's bad, and I think that his play certainly deserves criticism. But the idea of, like, my Twitter timeline wanting a public execution of him is, like, a little ridiculous.
It's the Miami game-by-game overreaction. It's okay.
Yeah.
Like we treat
that. Did you remove the bed?
He did. Just
you got rid of the evidence. You got rid of the evidence.
You were gone for a while, so I'm kind of curious.
Okay,
like,
so
how
you
did
confirmed he did wet the bed.
He's an old dog. He has seizures. Okay, like
We don't need to make us feel bad.
Now I was trying to push it off. You guys come back to it. All right,
assholes.
I did let Kenny talk.
Kyle Lowry went to bed. You know, old dogs do this sometimes, you know? No, but Kyle, like, I'm not too worried about Kyle. The thing that I am more concerned about is that we're still not that athletic as a team overall. And, like, you talk about the fast break stuff and the hidden heads and stuff. And, like, if you look at the Bulls, for example, it really works for them because they have a lot of guys that are going to run in transition. They got DJJ. They got Zach LaVine. Lonzo can run. They have a lot of guys that they can push the ball, push the tempo. Caruso creates steals and get easy buckets like that. The Heat is – who is it? Who's the athletic guy that's going
– Caleb.
To be fair, we got the fastest center in the NBA. He should probably –
That's because he's not a center.
That's true.
We don't have to rehash this conversation for the 20 billionth time.
But for him being – in matchup dependent, he's always the fastest person.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's one of those things where the Heat have holes. Like we've seen throughout these 16 games that they have holes, they have weaknesses, and it's they're either going to address it through a free agency or trades, or they have to hope that Oladipo fixes a lot and can stay healthy. Bam and Tyler continue to develop. Duncan finds a shot. They have to find it internally or externally, or else they're not going to be holding the band.
So I think something that for sure they're going to have to address around the deadline or the buyout market is get a wing who can shoot a little bit. I think Caleb is almost kind of what they need. If he could shoot a little better, that would kind of be perfect. I think they're a shooter short. I mean, they've been an average shooting team for most of the year. They're middle of the pack, but they're super feast or famine, as my camera, of course, goes out in the middle of my conversation. So, you know, Tyler 3-for-6 tonight, PJ 2-for-3. And after that, really, I mean, you don't really trust anybody else shooting the ball. Kyle may give you something, Duncan may.
I have a question. So yes. They get another shooter, right? You said they're super feast or famine. Even with another shooter, what happens when all of the shooters are in famine at the same time and you still don't have
A downhill guy? Yeah, but I mean they're gonna, I mean I ideally you get, and that's why like the joke is Harrison Barnes, right? Like,
is that the joke? I feel like that's you.
No, I'm dead ass, but like they, you know, I'm dead serious, which is like guy who can shoot, who can kind of get to the bucket, but you know that's probably unrealistic because they don't really have a ton of trade ammunition. You know, obviously selling low on Duncan isn't ideal, right? I don't think you're gonna get a ton for him selling low, unless like a team really needs to unload a guy that they think is going to leave in a year, you know, so kind of we'll see. But I mean, Harrison's playing incredible. And I think that a lot of teams are going to be able to outbid Miami, given Miami's pick equity and how far in advance they can offer them. So, you know, we knew going in that they were a flawed team, but I think the good thing, Siobhan, is that everyone's really a flawed team this year. Like, no one's perfect. You know, Brooklyn has their warts. You know, Chicago has warts. You know, Milwaukee, God knows what's going on with them. You know, in the Western Conference, the Warriors are really the cream of the crop over there. And, you know, everybody else is kind of like, I mean, what, Utah? Phoenix is playing really, really well. So, like, Phoenix, Golden State, you know, Brooklyn. And then Miami, Milwaukee, they're right there in that conversation. So, you know, as the season goes on, I think that they're going to improve. Again, they lost by, what was it, 3 points?
And we do have to not give an excuse, but a little bit of credit. This was their first game remotely healthy in a couple of weeks.
On the road.
So, yeah. And so they're getting back in rhythm also.
Yeah.
So they'll be fine.
Jimmy gets that call, that bullshit offensive rebound, and then he went.
Yeah. And that special day when he traveled.
Oh, yeah.
He traveled twice.
That was crazy.
He traveled twice. Word twice. To Manso for liking my tweet. He traveled twice.
And Kuz.
Yes, he did travel after that rebound.
Kenny. Kenny, no, so what do you think of the idea of, I think when you play these kind of back-to-back series, right, like these like home and aways, I think the team on the back end typically has an advantage because they're given the chance to adjust, which why this felt kind of like a playoff game. Like, it was a lot of coaching adjustments from both sides and a lot of counters. So, you know, I thought it was kind of cool.
Yeah, and I predicted on a pregame show also that we would see more out of Montrezl Harrell tonight.
What is with the chat? Kenny's the guy in the group science project. There's absolutely nothing. But good. What? That's fucked up.
Same for everybody. That doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm smiling, but I don't get the joke. But what was even the question again?
About like kind of how the second team on like the home and home has the advantage. Like, how do you feel about like that and like how that played into tonight?
Yeah, I mean, and also they lost, so they obviously made an emphasis on watching the film, figuring out where they messed up at. And that's what I was saying, since the guy with the bad joke threw me off. Montrezl Harrell, he made a lot of big plays in the first half. He had a bad game last game, so I predicted he would come back and be a lot better tonight, and he just was. And at the end of the day, tonight, a couple of shots fall, a couple bad calls don't happen. This is a Heat win. It's a whole different show tonight. So I'm... Yeah. It's fine.
You know what's crazy?
One more Kyle three. Yeah.
Hey, Kyle Kuzma is a 52% free throw shooter, and he made four free throws. So it is what it is.
Do you guys know how many rebounds Deadman had tonight?
Two.
Zero.
Well, I was going to say zero.
That's crazy. I'm like, that's another thing. Like, you didn't get a lot from
it's
your...
not crazy. He's not athletic. Montrez is leagues more athletic than that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, but Gafford, I mean, it's much more athletic.
Could it get one rebound? Like, not even on, like, you know,
he
like
he was trying a little like arm hold off but tip with the other arm and just wasn't there. It's like Trez is too strong for Bam, but too athletic for Deadman. And then so that's just kind of a vacuum for him to kind of get off a little bit.
How
many rebounds did Montrez have?
Trez had six.
I have seven, according to ESPN.
I have, well.
Kuzma had 11.
How?
Athletic, lanky, very simply.
So,
big, long, and athletic.
Kind of weird how Miami out-rebounded Washington, but didn't have a single guy in double-digit rebounding. Bam led the team with six. So kind of a weird game considering all the misses as well. Not a huge offensive rebounding night for them either. So
I mean they also had to play small a lot because Bam in foul trouble. Deadman didn't play. Deadman only played 9 minutes. So gang rebounding makes sense.
That was the other thing. Moose, I know you're laughing, but like Bam and foul trouble is just like obviously that completely changes the dynamic of a game. You know what I mean? Like
absolutely.
He only played 20. I mean, he played 29 minutes, but like Jimmy played 38, Kyle played 36, PJ played 34. Like, you know, if Bam plays a couple extra minutes, you know, I feel this game looks a little different.
Yeah, taking Bam out for any couple of minutes tonight, especially with the struggles that we have, Deadman not being able to play his own game against Montrezl Harrell, as Raban was saying, like that's, you know, that's where not having another Bam. Not to say that like Precious would have, you know, made a difference tonight or anything, but that kind of defensive big that can run, G-hosting like Westbrook when LeBron is out, Yeah, about the same shooting percentage. but yeah, well, like you see that struggle of not having that other end of the bench athletic big, maybe Caleb Martin, but I wouldn't put him at the five necessarily as like Bam's backup. You're gonna see that maybe in the playoffs if we have this team and the same depth in our front court. You know, is Denman gonna be able to spell Bam for those minutes, or if he gets back in foul trouble? Because that is gonna be Washington's game plan. Try and fuck up Bam and get him to the bench as soon as possible.
I wish Markieff wasn't so fucking hurt.
Yeah,
well, that's true.
The thing, so Bam picked up his fifth foul with 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So even when he did come back in, there wasn't much he can do as far as being aggressive. And so it was just a game you can't really – obviously, again, we're not making excuses, but there's just a not – there's not too much to criticize them on. But at the same time, whatever.
Frankie, do you watch this game and do you feel like, yeah, Washington's better? I didn't come wrong with that.
Hell
yeah.
No. Absolutely not.
No, like,
they're a good team. I think that, like, I think – Kenny, and we talked about this on the pod. Like, we had some reservations on them, but like they feel legit.
Yeah, I'm not the guy that's gonna sit here and joke on Russell Westbrook and slander him and all this stuff, but getting rid of him and getting guys that fit better with Beal and can do different things and obviously don't have the turnover and shooting issues, I figured that would be an improvement on them anyway, and now we're actually seeing it.
And to Kenny's point, those young guys still have something to play for. Whereas Westbrook, he feels like he's already established. And that's not to say that he's playing hard.
Right.
But it's just a different mentality of, like, if it's not going his way that night, you know what I mean? He's like, well, I'm going to
get my triple double and sit down.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have a much more cohesive team. Like, Denny Adia, Spencer, Gafford.
They're deep.
When Roy Hachimura comes back,
I forgot about him. Yeah, he's going to help a lot.
They just know their roles. Everyone just slides into their roles. We talked about this on the pregame show. Russ and Beal were kind of fighting 1A. Who's 1A? Who's the alpha? And now everybody slides in perfectly. Dinwiddie's perfectly happy being Robin on this team, making plays, playing off everybody. He hit four for seven from three tonight, and he's 16 points efficient. Didn't turn the had one turnover. Like that's a great secondary playmaker for your team.
Bertans isn't even healthy for them either. That's another weapon off their bench to kind of help them.
And I'm not sure what the Heat's numbers were around the rim tonight, but I do have to give credit to Gafford too. He is a really underrated rim protector.
Yeah.
I think they said he's ninth in blocks this season, or something like that. So
he's good, man. They're good.
Yeah, they're seeing them these last two games, I do understand.
Did G type this?
Dumb skin.
With the way G talks about himself, I wouldn't be surprised.
G's hosting skills.
That's the one I was calling for.
I don't watch The Office, so I don't get G's hosting.
I'll send you my Moose at the Movies link.
Hooping at Rutger Park.
Yeah, I do need you to go ahead and watch The Office, though.
I really don't.
No, it's fine. I'm gonna send you a Potty Award-winning.
I've seen it. I've seen it. I've watched.
You're gonna watch it again.
Kenny was fighting against watching The Office for like 5 years. Every time he would fight about it on Twitter, it was trending or whatever. And he's like, no, it sucks. It sucks.
Not, but you know how things go. Like a pretty girl tells you to watch something, you check it out, and it ends up being good.
That's
what happened to me.
I dated a girl that really liked The Office. I watched the first few episodes, and I'm like, nah.
Yeah, you can't watch the first few episodes.
I tried.
I think episode 5 is the basketball episode. That's when it starts to get good.
No, it starts getting good at Diversity Day. And Diversity Day didn't do it for you, then you're lost. The fire drill. Just look at the fire drill episode.
Fire drill was great. But that's also but now you're getting deeper into the, like, we're talking about the earlier episodes. I agree it starts at Diversity Day.
Yeah.
And I agree that, like, a perfect way to introduce somebody to The Office is with my Hottie Award-winning Moose at the Movie segment. So I will send you the link, both you, Kyle Lowry, Lifer, and Kenny 16 Text.
And The Office. I read the names. I just can't. I can't do The Office. The Office is a little problematic too. Which sometimes some of the jokes.
Now,
it was 2005 though.
I'm not saying they're bad people, but like I don't feel comfortable laughing at that stuff, and I don't particularly find it funny.
That's the point.
Wow. Well, I mean, that's not my kind of humor, you know?
No, but it's honestly, it's not.
It's not mine either, but it's not that bad.
I think it's always bad. Sunny. I think
Diversity Day was a little risky, but aside from that, it doesn't get.
The worst it gets.
Yeah, it doesn't get that quote unquote problematic.
And then when Oscar comes out. Yeah.
But
it's just, oh, yeah.
Oh, but that's such a good Gay Witch Hunt episode. Love it. Love it. So good.
So the bench play tonight.
Hold on, wait. I like when we wander. I want to get into listen, this team doesn't lose a lot of games anymore. So it's been a while since we could do the segment.
They kicked our ass.
After
is
Desmond's
that like
garage,
the only graphic that they left behind for you, and that's why you just wanted to go to? Well, it's the only one.
So I wanted to do like a ga-ga-ga of the game, but Brass isn't here to pull clips, and I wanted the Deadman dunk, the one the little Jimmy slip pass to Deadman dunk, but I couldn't find it, and Brass is the day off. So then I'm like, well, they lost, so I was like, okay, you know, they kicked. So Moose, who kicked our ass?
Let me see.
Look. I would love to say Kyle Lowry for not making those threes just to piss you off. But honestly, I'm going to go with the refs. I think the refs tonight were fucking atrocious.
Scott Foss was a great choice.
There was enough calls there that really just fucking turned the game for us. It was out of our hands at that point.
Frankie, who kicked our ass?
The referees definitely kicked our ass. And Caldwell Pope. KCP is our random stroke killer Hall of Fame in my book.
Right. I think he's too good to be a random stroke killer.
I agree. He's not a random scrub.
He's like a solid rotation player. Yeah.
That would have been like Kispert or somebody.
Chat is screaming.
I can't believe that was a real person.
By the way, Frankie, chat wants me to let you know Kane's touchdown.
Yeah, I saw it.
Nice.
So good. Their final home game of the season. So shout out to the Canes. Kenny, who kicked our ass?
Duncan Robinson.
What was I gonna say?
Damn, Forsman took
excellent.
Just man, keep your hands to yourself. Just figure that out. The shot's not falling, and that's, I guess. I'm not sure how fine it is at this point, but we can't even use your gravity if you're on the bench. So just like, stop fucking hitting people. So Duncan Robinson.
Siobhan, who kicked our ass?
That's what I was going to say. So I'll go with switching defenses yet again. Thwarted us.
I'm gonna go with Montrez. 13-7
yeah.
Was a plus 17 on the night. I thought his kind of minutes late in the third really kind of got the game manageable for Washington. And then, you know, obviously we know how that fourth quarter went. So, you know, shout out to Trez having a career season. You know, didn't play great in with the Lakers. Has looked really good in Washington. You know, it kind of sucks also that Washington is so good, but they don't have any national TV games because they really, you know, people are like high on the Bulls, and I get it, right? Bigger market, you know, Zach LaVine is exciting.
No, they're fun to watch.
No, yeah.
Let's give them some credit. They are fun to watch. I'm searching them out on the league pass. They are fun to watch.
They're exciting. They're good. I think Washington is just as good, man. I think the Wizards are legit. I think Beal is obviously
not as much fun to watch.
A superstar. I like them more. I mean, I'm not a big yeah, DeMar DeRozan fan. I'm not gonna lie.
Like the things you love.
That makes a lot of sense, actually. You not being a DeMar DeRozan fan.
Yeah, because DeMar really.
It doesn't make sense. What do you not like?
Toronto Raptors lifer. He's
I like the Raptors, and DeMar is like pretty responsible for like all the worst moments in Raptor playoff history. Like, you want to talk about a dude that's like bad in the playoffs? Like, DeMar like really like shrunk every playoff series that they played. You know what I mean? So like as a fan,
but we do have to like acknowledge your guy shrunk a lot too.
Not really.
Oh, just as much.
Not really. And you can go check the numbers and the tapes. Not really. In those Cleveland series, the one who played bad was DeMar, not Kyle. And the playoffs that Kyle did not play well, it was one, and he had a really fucked up hand. His hand was busted. right? And I think
it looks like it's still pretty fucked up.
In the title run, he had a bad series against the Sixers, flat out bad, but he was good in every other series. So DeMar is just, and I'm just like not a fan of his game, bad defensively. You know, obviously, like he's a good scorer. I think DeMar is a good example of like a good way to improve how the guy really like worked on his mid range, really worked on getting to the basket, getting to the foul line. Like the jump in free throws is huge, and like I think that's like great for DeMar. I'm not a huge fan of DeMar, and he's like, I don't know, it's a sore spot for me. Like he's obviously like a good player. Yeah, I don't think he's bad. I wouldn't want him on my team. Like if I'm Miami, I was like pretty like on board with I don't want him. So
I disagree.
Yeah, I mean I just think defensively he's like really bad. And like
I mean he fits in.
Huh? He fits into what? Because the Heat are playing a ton of bad defenders?
Yeah.
They play two support. DeMar's worse than Kyle, than Duncan, and DeMar's the worst defender.
He's not gonna get hunted like them.
That he does get hunted all the time. What are you talking about? Like I watched like
are
every Raptor playoff game.
No. Are you watching them now?
I watch them now. He's still not good. I think he's last on their team in DPM, which is hard to do when Vucevic is on your team. So, I mean, I'm just not a big DeMar fan. Huh?
Vuce is hurt, isn't he?
Yeah, he was hurt.
I can't wait for that game Saturday.
That's the game I've been like super looking forward to. I wish they had won this game because that would have been a ton of fun.
Yeah.
For them, let's kind of close out with this. Like, you know, so we're almost a quarter way through the season. Let's go around the room and like see how people feel about the team. Moose, how are you feeling about them? Almost a quarter of the way through.
Heat in five.
Next. Let's go.
Fuck out of here,
Siobhan.
What order is this? Go, Frankie.
I don't know.
Okay, Frankie. The last time I went, I'd like to go clockwise, but the last time you were looking at like the box score on your phone, so I wanted to give you time, so I went the other way. Okay, Frankie.
All right. There changes need to be made. Improvement needs to be made, whether internally or externally. But it's a good team, and it's much more fun to watch. Last year's team was a fucking chore to watch. I enjoy watching this team.
Kenny?
Yeah, I'm not discouraged by tonight's game at all. It was a lot of calls didn't go guys' ways. It's
would have been a hard 30 with this guy here, all right?
Yeah, right. I bet Brad likes the office.
Yeah, I'm not discouraged by tonight's game. I still think this is a team that makes a deep playoff run. And
I think they're one of the five best teams in the league.
Yeah, I'm not discouraged by tonight. Still, like Moose said, Heat in five.
Yeah, day, every day.
I mean,
one time. Sorry, come on, go.
Tonight doesn't discourage me. Tonight doesn't move me one way or another, but like they have places where they need to improve. I think that's obvious. I'd like to see them fill some of their holes. And I just we gotta hope that like Jimmy's shooting maintains and that Tyler's shooting maintains, because if the fuck not, it's an issue. Like Jimmy's been pretty steady all season for the most part. Tyler's been super steady all season, off the bench, starting, whatever. If either of those two like come down to earth or whatever, it looks a bit different. So I think that they have places where they need to holes to fix. I still want Bam to be more aggressive.
Yes.
I think a more aggressive Bam opens up so much more for the rest of them and like makes them that much more formidable. You know, I say Heat in six.
Let's go. we didn't talk a ton about this today, but I didn't think Bam was. I think this is one of Bam's worst games of the season, mm-hmm. just from an overall perspective. But I mean, you know, Bam's got to
step it up.
Yeah, I mean, he'll bounce back. Like,
Bam's only had one game this season where I'm like, that's the fucking guy I want to see.
Yep.
And then
petered out. He could have had 40 that game. Bam should legitimately be averaging no less than 25 points.
Yeah, he's got to step it up.
That's not a huge ask.
I'm pretty I know I'm not. Listen, Siobhan and I may argue.
What is that spelling? Let's talk about this.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think G's in the chat.
G's having a hard time hosting and keeping it about Kyle Lowry and writing the comments.
How many friends you have?
Thanks, Bronx.
Listen, okay. Thank you, Fez. What did happen to the hard 30?
Yeah, I don't know. Listen, Siobhan and I may disagree on a lot, but there's like few people I respect as much as Bon. And I know that she puts so much fucking work into this. You don't know how much film she's watching when you guys don't know. You don't know how much research she's doing. Like, legitimately, like, one of the hardest fucking work. I mean, nobody works harder than Brass, but like, Siobhan's right there. You know, Brass carries me. But Siobhan is really like one of the fucking smartest people I know, and I respect everything she says, even
Melody.
If
thanks, Melody.
A lot.
Thanks. Yeah,
thanks, Melody. I still think they're one of the five best teams in the league. I think, you know, obviously Golden State, Phoenix, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, and Miami. Miami would be outside of those four, are my top five. I think that they have as good a chance as anybody to win the title. I think that there's a lot of season left, but I mean, I've been super encouraged by a lot of things. I think their weaknesses are kind of what we thought they were to open the year. I actually think they've been better in a lot of ways. I thought their offense would be way, way worse. I mean, the fact that they have a top 10 offense is pretty remarkable.
I thought so.
G's Splain and Siobhan's effort. What do you mean? I'm just giving my friend credit.
Oh, put the G Splain. Do you even know where it is? The G Splain graphic.
Do we have one?
Yes,
we have one.
Let me see. Yes. Hold on.
Brass, come to work. What did Jimmy say to Colin? Brass, come to work on Monday.
Please come to work. We have so much stuff here. What is we have?
It's fine. Don't search.
No, we got this. Thing. We got
careful. He's gonna play a Moose at the Movies intro by accident.
We have this, which by the way, if we reach 300 subs, I will buy a Max Truce jersey.
Yes,
in an extra small.
Be promoting that more. Yes.
Yeah, I mean we're pretty close. We only got one sub tonight. Obviously, you know, it's a loss. Yeah, I'm not getting the haircut.
No, you are getting the haircut.
I'm not getting the haircut.
There's a barber shop right behind us, bro.
I'm not getting the haircut. I'm not.
Get your boat and swim to that barber shop.
I need a new barber. I'm having a barber crisis right now.
Situation.
It was right there for you.
It was right.
Schmeathen says G hasn't. Schmeathen says.
Get it
yeah,
out.
That
there
it is.
Take your time,
Pastor. It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.